As we talk about domestic drilling, all we have talked about, it seems, is the Outer Continental Shelf, ANWR, the Bakken Reserve, etc. And one area of the country has been left out of the discussion for now, until this moment here on the Frank Beckman Show, and that area is our own state of Michigan, the Great Lakes. Should we drill for oil here, and why are we no longer even considering that? Let's find out first from our initial guest on the subject, the former director of the Department of Environmental Quality under the Engler administration in Michigan, now working at the Mackinac Center for Public Policy, Russ Harding, on the other end of our line. Hello, Russ.
Yeah, good morning, Frank. How are you?
Good. When did we stop allowing oil drilling here in Michigan, this so-called slant drilling or directional drilling?
Well, we drilled about a dozen wells in the 80s. Oil companies came in the mid-90s and said they would like to explore for more oil and gas under the Great Lakes. And then the legislature banned that process by legislative decree, by statute, in 2000. So we had not had, or actually it's closer to 2002, we haven't had any directional drilling, of course, since the 80s then.
Why did the legislature take that action? Didn't you do environmental impact studies on it?
Well, that's a good question, Frank. When the oil companies came to us in the mid-90s and said we'd like to explore for more oil and gas. Now, directional drilling is there's been about 2,000 directionally drilled wells in Michigan. In fact, I used to be chief of the state park system, and we would allow oil and gas drilling under the parks, but we didn't want the wells in the state park. So it's a very common practice. We went to the Michigan Environmental Science Board and asked the scientists, basically scientists from universities, to tell us if that was safe or not. And they came back with a report, and basically what they said in that report is absolutely it is safe. The oil and gas reserves are what's called the Niagaran Reef. It's a formation, geologic formation. It's about 4,000 feet under the lakes with 2,000 feet of non-porous rock above it. If oil or gas would have leaked into the Great Lakes, it would have already done so. They did go on to say, however, that if you have any risk, even though it's small, you could have a risk at the wellhead. And so then they made a number of recommendations of how to minimize that risk, which we followed. And then the Michigan legislature decided they just didn't want to allow it at all.
All right. Environmentalists, of course, don't want drilling in the Great Lakes, and Hugh McDermott represents that side of the discussion, Communications Director with the Michigan Environmental Council. How are you, Hugh?
Good. Good morning, Frank.
Good to talk with you again.
Good morning.
The issue of drilling here in Michigan, why would environmentalists be opposed to it if you've got studies saying, look, it's totally safe, nothing's going to happen here?
Well, before I even get into the risks involved and the treasure that is our Great Lakes and how we need to protect it, I think it's important to put in perspective what we would gain from drilling under the Great Lakes, which is virtually nothing. I hear a lot of politicians clamoring for drilling in ANWR or the off the coast or in the Great Lakes even, and it sounds like they're doing something about the problem, but there is so little oil underneath the Great Lakes that it would have no measurable impact on our oil supplies. It would not bring prices down, and it's essentially grandstanding. It's in America we have something like 3% of the world's known oil reserves, and we use 25% of the oil. So the real solution to getting ourselves out of this mess is to find ways to conserve, not ways to threaten the Great Lakes by bringing a little trickle more, a little dribble more of oil onto the global market.
Quick question.
Yeah.
What mess? You say get out of this mess. What mess?
Well, the high gas price mess.
So you just want to get away from high gas prices. I wanted to understand that, because that's the only problem here. There's no mess.
Right.
We have plenty of oil.
Well, we do have. I mean, you go to the supermarket too, and you see how fuel prices are impacting every aspect of the way we live and what we pay at the supermarket, what we pay at the store, what we pay at the pump. And that's the mess I'm talking about. I mean, there are deaths attributed to fossil fuel burning and global warming, which I know you and I may differ on
completely,
and that sort of thing. But there is a price to be paid for this environmentally and in terms of health, and particularly children's health. in terms of burning these fossil fuels. And I think it's clear that this is a finite resource, and the steps that we need to take are conservation and, you know, and ways to reduce the amount of fuel that we use without, you know, without drastically impacting people's lifestyles.
If it's a finite resource, eventually we're going to run out of oil. Why should we worry whether we run out or our kids run out or our grandkids run out or their kids or grandkids run out? At some point, aren't we going to find a replacement for it? And if we can add to the supply right now, if it's a shortage of oil that's causing high prices, even if this is only a small amount we're adding to the market, isn't that better than adding no amount?
Well, absolutely, Frank. That's exactly what we need to do. And, in fact, this is a bogus argument that we can't contribute. I'm for all of this. We've got to conserve. I think that absolutely that's correct. We also have got to develop and use the resources we have, and we have to invest in future technology, but we're going to have a bridge. We can't stop using oil. We burn about between 18 million and 20 million barrels of oil a day. We can't put sails on our cars in this country. We only produce in this country about 5 million. We're going to need to do it all. And it absolutely amazes me, this political debate about one side saying we can drill our way out, the other side saying we can conserve our way out. We're going to have to do it all. And if we don't, we're going to find that we're heading indeed for a serious energy crisis. You know, we can't run this stuff on pixie dust and hope. It's going to take a lot more than that. It's going to take us developing in a responsible way the natural resources we have, providing that as a bridge as we invest in alternative energy for the future, and as well as conserve. And if we don't do all of that, we're going to drastically impact our way of life, our freedom that we've come to enjoy, as well as threaten our economy.
All right, let's get back to this issue of drilling in Michigan, though. Hugh, you say there's not much oil here, but if there is somebody who's willing to make that investment of their own money to bring that oil out of the ground and bring it to market, why stand in their way? Why not say, go for it, my friend? It might help in 10 years from now, when you get it out of the ground, to lower the price at the pump.
Well, it's a risk versus reward formula. And Russ said we need to get our resources responsibly. And I think that's probably where Russ and I differ on the meaning of the word responsibly. The Great Lakes is, you know, a worldwide resource. It's 95% of the nation's fresh surface water. 40 million people in the Great Lakes Basin depend on the Great Lakes for their drinking water. And regardless of whether the risk of a catastrophic accident is low, it's a risk nonetheless. And there are other risks involved too that the Science Board didn't consider and that should be considered. And for the reward, which is, you know, barely a trickle of oil that will have no measurable impact on, you know, the economy or on the oil supply worldwide, it's too much of a risk to drill under the Great Lakes. This is a spectacular resource. We just got done approving the Great Lakes Compact and accompanying legislation that recognizes that the Great Lakes is such a spectacular resource. And you know, if there were a gusher of oil underneath it, the formula might be different. But there's a trickle of oil underneath it, and that's somewhere, you know, that needs to be protected for the resource it is, not for extractive, oil, production that's going to enrich essentially oil companies and possibly devastate the state and really contribute virtually nothing to the economy.
Well, Hugh, if the danger is devastating the state, why would you approve it if there were a big pot of oil versus a small pot? That shouldn't make a difference.
I didn't say I would approve it. I said that would change the equation.
Well, I don't know, but why? If that were the sole determinant, that potential disaster. But I want to get back to this question. What is the danger in your mind to drilling under the Great Lakes for this oil? What do you see as the danger?
Well, there are a number of dangers, and there's incremental pollution. There's air pollution that comes from the diesel rigs that would be on the shoreline. There's visual pollution. There's the risk of a spill, a leakage. Canada drills in Lake Erie, and they've had dozens of reported spills and leakages of natural gas and oil. So there's all that, and there's also the when you drill in the bottomlands, you stir up sediment, and the toxic components of that sediment release. We're talking about mercury and lead and arsenic and various other things. There are also chemicals that are used in the drilling process that have to be accounted for, and they're, you know, those are stored typically in lagoons and have to be transported. So there's a risk of those kind of spills. You know, there are a multitude of ways this could go wrong, and you know, to trust that everything is going to work perfectly, you know, for the infinitesimal amount of oil that we would get out of it is reckless in my estimation.
Russ?
Well, Hugh's got his science wrong there. In fact, the risk on oil is in transportation, and we're at the end of the pipeline here in Michigan. We have to get our oil from basically the Gulf Coast. We're vulnerable to disruptions, hurricanes, and other things. Anything we can produce in this state actually lowers environmental risk. In fact, I'm a geologist by training, and as I read the geologist report from the scientists on this issue, if you remove that oil, if there were ever a seismic activity or something in the future, you're getting rid of that from under the Great Lakes. You're lessening risk. They said, you know, there's a small risk at the wellhead, but then there's a number of precautions that are in state regulations that, as the scientists said in the report, actually approach zero on that risk. So I think that's a bogus argument. You know, we hear it all the time, well, we can't contribute. We're talking, geologists are estimating in Michigan that we're probably the $3 to $4 billion worth of resources. That adds to our state economy. We know we're in deep serious problem in our economy in this state. Those are good paying jobs. They're something we need. And there's just so many good arguments why we should be doing this. You know, I hear this on ANWR. If we would have developed ANWR 10 years ago, we'd be producing 1.5 million barrels of domestically produced oil today. So I've been on ANWR. The pipeline's in place. We could be doing that. The argument always is, well, it's not enough. That's just an argument. You know, as I've listened to this over the years, I don't think it's really about the environment as much as it is land use. And as I've listened to many of the environmental groups voice concerns, when you really get down to the science of it, I think it's a land use issue. They don't want that particular kind of development from an aesthetic or other reason, and those factors are important and need to be considered. But if we take that philosophy, not in my backyard, we're not going to do anything, and we're going to suffer the ramifications of that.
All right. Hugh, final word on that.
You know, the millions of barrels sounds impressive, you know, but the bottom line is, you know, the United States has a very small percentage of the world's oil resources. We waste a lot of oil because we don't have conservation standards. And in Michigan, we're fighting right now, you know, to get energy conservation standards that would save natural gas and other fuels. And it's just like pulling teeth to get it. And this discussion should be less about drilling and more about how we implement conservation standards. And it's a very tough sell because you talk about drilling and you get a visual on it. It's tangible. You can see an oil rig. You know what it does. We've already done it. When you talk about conservation standards, you're talking about, you know, kind of policy wonk stuff. You're talking
about
mass transit.
Limiting free choice, too.
I don't necessarily agree with that, but, you know, that argument has been made that anything that comes close to smacking of a mandate is bad. You know, when we talk about putting money in public transit, well, there's, you know, a certain contingent of folks who don't want to put public money into anything because they don't believe in taxation. And, you know, even if it's going to save, you know, $3 or $4 for every dollar you invest in it. And that's what public transit does. That's what energy conservation programs, which Michigan currently has none, does. And that's where we ought to be saving businesses and residents money. Rather than talking about, you know, some infinitesimal amount of oil that would come out of the Great Lakes at great risk to a worldwide resource.
All right. Hugh McDermott, thank you for joining the discussion from the Michigan Environmental Council. Russ Harding, thank you from the Mackinac Center as well. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Frank.